live.
Gonna say that. Going
10 minutes late. Going
I'm
live.
Alive.
I'll tell you later.
Welcome back, beautiful people of Community Christian Church.
Are we live yet?
We are live.
Woo!
So get excited.
Heads up.
Wow, that's some great excitement.
No energy in the crowd tonight.
I think we can hear it.
All right. So,
hi, Roger.
Are there any announcements? Anybody know the announcements coming up?
Nope.
So we are uninformed as a church. We are doing a great job spiritually, guys, together.
27.
Amen.
You taught them too well.
Did it?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
No, the 27th.
I think it was just the 27th one, from what I remember.
27th, men and women's.
We got a work day on April 20th.
Oh, look, Matthew's
there
here.
We go. We got a work day on April 20th.
We got a men's and women's Bible study and breakfast at April 27th.
Okay.
And a Mother's Day tea on May the 4th be with
grab
you.
Grab the chair. Yeah, you're sitting
May the Lord be with you.
Yeah. And VBS is still up in the air.
Oh, yeah, VBS is still up in the air. We'll figure that one out. But
one day we'll catch it.
We're having it.
It's going to be in July.
Up in the air of when we're having
time,
it.
Yes.
That's what I'm
Thank
talking
you.
About.
I just want to make it clear in case people are watching.
Because it was going to be the day you were gone. The week
the
you were gone.
And
you
gone.
Too. And me.
And you.
Too many people
were
going to be gone at that time. Yeah.
Hawaii, here I come.
Most likely it's going to be after, I believe.
Dog.
So.
Go with her.
Oh, I can't.
She wants to do with the kids.
I think
man.
It's going
to
be the last week of July, first week of August.
That's true.
They,
besides, I got to go there on my honeymoon.
I'm not dealing with the kids. I'm taking off on my own.
That's what you say.
Three people's online.
Welcome, three people online.
Welcome.
Say hello.
Welcome, three people.
I'll be on Bible study.
Hi, three.
Dang.
Coming from Hawaii.
You should be here though.
No, and when you get a chance to go to Hawaii, you should go to Hawaii.
I am. But the Lord is always in my heart, so it's just my heart is here.
Exactly.
A bunch of missed calls. Jacob, you called me 3 times.
Yeah, because you were like sleeping or something in the shower.
Oh.
I called him like 3 times.
In the shower.
His phone went dead. And...
Oh, that's right. That's because it died. My sister called me too.
I almost left him, but I went on every. I knocked on every door to make sure he wasn't in any neighbor's house first.
Like a kid.
Yeah.
I was like, "Have you seen my dad?" I get mad at him because I don't want to have to drive.
But when it's the other way around, he just leaves me. He gone.
The only time that happened is his truck was gone, I think, or something. I thought he was down.
I think there's been at least twice now.
Yeah, and I think he was. I thought he was down here.
Hi, Kathy.
Otherwise, I would have waited for the ride.
Otherwise, you would have waited instead of the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Where are we, young man?
Baseball?
Oh, well, we got to pray in first.
Mark.
I wasn't here Thursday, so someone's got to fill me in.
15.
I wasn't
no,
here
we
Thursday.
We went beyond that.
I know we're in 14.
I can't remember. A lot's 13. Happened between
First
now
day,
and Thursday.
Passover. Going to the sea.
14, 13.
Jar of water. We touched. We hit that one. Is it one?
Come on. What was the most amazing thing you guys heard on Thursday?
I'm surprised you don't listen to the podcast, though, Jacob.
Oh, I don't have time to listen to the podcast anymore. It's pretty sad.
Through a few chapters
oh,
on
no.
Thursday.
Actually, you're right.
Did we...
Chapters or verses, right?
We stop chapters. At 27?
No, we got the verses. Sorry.
Did you guys do Lord's Supper?
That's how we got to 32.
The Lord's Supper?
We did do that, didn't we?
Jesus predicts...
Yes.
There's denial?
Yeah.
The one
we,
who
we
dips the sauce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One who dips the sauce?
The dips the bread.
Oh, dips the bread?
Easter.
All right.
Easter.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure we got through computer's denial.
I don't.
You guys went all
I
the
don't
way.
Recall
you guys
we
must
did.
Have been going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Did we do Peter's denial? No.
Neither were you.
No. I don't think we did either.
I remember doing it because I remember taking you guys to
so are we in 32
the end
then?
Of John where it was Peter's reinstatement.
Hmm.
You know,
hmm.
That sounds about right.
What happened?
We went through.
Leah said. As well. Leah said we're at 1432. Thank you, Leah.
Thank you, Leah.
I remembered it this time.
At least someone's paying attention.
Yeah. Hi, Jocelyn. Jocelyn says good evening, everyone.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Thea's right. Here. Tell Thea to come up here.
Yeah. I don't know.
So let us.
See, your mom will tell you. She has authority.
Let us. Let us pray in and get started. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we come to listen here, Lord, and we ask that, well, we actually, first, Lord, we thank you for the life that you gave us, Lord, the ability to spectate all the wonderful things you do around us, Lord. Every single one of those is great, Lord, and we thank you for every single one of those. And also, Lord, we ask that you forgive us for our sins and, that you fill us up with what is needed and not what is wanted, Lord. Help us retain the information that you share with us tonight in this message, Lord. Bless the study ahead and bless everyone around us who is here and who isn't here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
I do recall Peter's denial.
So it is 32.
No, that's yeah. Not exactly where we're at right now.
I would like to say one thing, though, about 27. Not that I want to go back and back, but...
What if they already said it, Matt?
Well, maybe they did. I wasn't here.
It's a recap anyway.
I'm hoping they did, actually, but...
We'll see.
This verse 27, when I read it, has always stuck with me because... It tells us that we can do nothing without Christ because he's who we have our faith in. Do you see that? And it kind of bothers me in a way, the way the verse is written, because the shepherd got struck, that the sheep got scattered, you know? Mm-hmm. But the reason it happened was because of us.
Mm.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a questioning of their faith either. I think it's just what I'm trying to tell you guys is this, is that things happen to us. And if we're not in Christ, we're going to scatter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't do anything without him. We can't stand without him. We can't believe without him. We can't anything without him. So just know that the enemy's going to do whatever he can to strike you now, you know, when you're not with the shepherd like you should be. So that's all I wanted to say. That scripture always spoke to me.
You guys talk about, like...
We actually said that word for word. No, just kidding.
Did you guys talk about, like... Just kidding. Did you talk about, like, what all the disciples did after Christ was...
Not all, but some of what.
Well, it says in 31, it says, Peter insisted emphatically, is that proper?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. But here's the part I want you to hear. And all the others said the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did touch on that too, that all of us, same thing. And you know what you're talking about too is reminds me of Colossians 1:17. It says just one verse. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. They all hold together, and that's in Christ. And without Christ, everything's scattered.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Anyways, I just wanted to share that with you guys. That meant something to me. That's why we need to get up every day and seek him, mm-hmm. Seek his word, be in the spirit, amen. Can I tell you what it means to be in the spirit, why I'm on the subject? I don't want to take any more time. I'm going to be quiet after this, okay? But it's not what people think it is. It's not some mystical thing that happens, you know? It's being obedient to Christ. When we're being obedient, we're living our Christian walk. That's being in the Spirit. That's the Spirit leading you through the Word of God to be the person He's called you to be. And the other stuff is an outward appearance and a benefit of it, because we get so blessed with the walk we have now because we've been obedient that we praise Him in such a way we feel His presence. But to really be keeping in step with the Spirit, like Paul talks about, being obedient is to walk the right walk. Amen? Amen.
So, Apostle Paul, not me.
Yeah, that's for sure, just so you guys know.
Agreed.
Paul. Dang.
Is your daddy? Anyways, that's all I wanted to say. But yeah, you made me say that part because I looked at you. Crazy.
It's a lot of John chapter 14.
You got it?
That's right.
He's the vine.
15, yeah, he's the vine.
The grafting.
John 15, he's talking about the vine. Yeah, that one's John 15 that he's talking about. But John 14 has a lot of good stuff too.
John 14 is the one where he shows him not to be a servant as well, right? It's the one where
John 14.
That's the one where he like wraps a towel around his waist and washes their feet, right? Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Yeah.
You'll obey my commands.
My Father will love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all
I
know
because I just read.
Yeah, 14, the beginning of it. Now I just glanced at it and I know what it's talking about. The end part is what he's talking about. The first part is when he's telling him, they're like, "Show us the Father, and we'll know."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's like, "Philip, if you've seen me, you know the Father. Now you know the Father because you've seen me." And it goes on into this detail. But yeah. But the branch, the one you brought up about that one always intrigued me too, because it's exactly our walk.
Some on my
right. We accept Christ, we get plugged into the branch.
Yeah.
He said we're grafted in, right?
Yes.
And then, but we're a dirty old branch still. And the more time we spend with God, He prunes the bad off.
Right.
But God can only prune the bad. I want to share this with you guys. He can do whatever He wants. He's God. But because of who He is and how He treats us, so that we have self, so that we make our own choices, you understand? Then He can't prune without us knowing it and giving Him the okay. Because we're stubborn, we're mean, we're ornery, we're hateful, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Don't all the above.
Me saying yes, you no. But
me, all the above.
But He prunes those things out of our life. See the actual pruner, you know. Mm-hmm. He prunes the dead out so that so it can grow again. The new life we have, He prunes the old, so the new life can come and it's full of fruit. You know, it's a beautiful passage of scripture. That's a good example of it.
Yeah, there it says directly speaking about the covenant.
Yeah, if you're not plugged into the vine.
Yeah, I do like that one.
Hello, everyone, from just outside Dallas. Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
I did it.
And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
Wait, we were in two different passages of scripture in like 10 seconds.
Wow. That's love.
I led you guys astray.
No, that's love. It fit perfect.
Yeah. No, that was really good.
Okay, where are we at now?
Paul just read 13:13 of Corinthians.
Oh, yeah.
Paul. I recited it.
Yeah. Which is good. We should all recite that one.
And I feel we're going to find a lot of love in those two.
Are you scared I'm going to?
I am. You're going to do another finger with that?
I'll shave my beard with it.
Okay.
Cool. Your wife's going to kill you.
We should start, John.
All right, so just remember the 1 Corinthians 13. You know, these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. That's what we want to see when we read the passages of the Gospels. Jesus is teaching us how we should live, that we should become ambassadors of these things. So when we read these scriptures, we want to read those into it. We don't want to, if we're reading something else into it, then we're putting our own will on top of the scriptures, taken in into a worldly way. And those three things help us see it as like a shortcut, keep us in the lens that we need to look through.
The mindset you're supposed to be in when you're reading.
Right, exactly.
It's a cheat code.
The cheat code, yeah. The cheat sheet.
The cheat sheet.
So, we're in 32, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys got a long ways.
You guys get so far.
Well, we did.
Our major talkers weren't here.
All right, we're going to go. Everyone's break is at 43, the next 43, right? Or did we go all the way through?
No, it's at 43.
Okay.
32, you said.
Yeah, but the break is so 32 right. through 43.
All right, somebody read.
All right, it says, 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet that I will, but what not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were very heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
How many of us are sleeping today?
I think we're all just sleeping right now.
I'm just waiting. Like, I'm just waiting for someone to say something.
My mouth, you know.
Say what?
I was just waiting for someone to eat. What you got, Mary?
What do I got on that? Why did they fall asleep? It was only an hour. They could have tolerated an hour to stay awake.
Ooh, that's a fancy question.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that one, I'm sure. What do you guys see here?
Why do people fall asleep driving?
You see very tired.
What's that?
So I see very tired disciples.
You see very tired disciples?
Yeah.
I see very tired disciples.
I see them being used
all day long.
I see them being used as an instrument for God,
mm-hmm.
and to speak with Jesus directly.
Yeah.
Is that Jesus was asking for them, for this cup to be taken from him, for that it's God, that it's not his will but God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's going back to the disciples and he's catching them asleep, he's starting to realize, well, if I don't do it, these guys can't do it, so I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like he's getting a sign straight from God that he has to do this, you know. And if you go into other gospels, it's much deeper in these than this one. Like one of them, he's sweating blood with how much
stress
is going on through it, you know. And I think my favorite part of it is when he says his with sorrow to the point of death,
mm-hmm.
right? My favorite part of that is because he's so sorrowful that he's that death is like him going to like think about, you know, actually doing a sin, mm-hmm. instead of being the perfect sacrifice. Like he's getting to that part where he's. Where
so does he answer his own question? In his 38 says, "Watch ye and pray." He enter into temptation, the spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Is that him answering his own question?
Yeah, and in other passages, it's much more depth. Like, he goes to them multiple times, and they keep falling asleep. And he keeps going back asking the same question. So, to answer it, yeah, this was probably that remark at the end, where it is that okay, he's got the message. He God showed it to him, right? In that sense.
I'd like to take it a little deeper. And when he says Abba, Father, right there. Jacob hit a home run sharing it with you like that, but it's like, I want you guys to understand something, because it's what, it has to do with the sleeping. It has to do with how he overcame it, and it has to do with us today. Jesus wasn't worried about, he wasn't upset, sweating tears and this and that about the physical. You know, a lot of people use the physical, and we don't want to take away from that. It happened. Mm-hmm. Because we're human, a lot of people use the physical, okay? But Jesus is never about the world and things like that, okay? When he said, Abba, Father, he was crying out because it was going to be the first time in creation that he was ever separated from his dad.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what it means to be separated. Him and his father were one. There's no separation in them whatsoever. And so he was even thinking to the point of death. Okay, Jesus can't die because he's life. That's why the grave couldn't hold him. So it had to be a sin.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
He was thinking
yeah.
of committing in order to stop this.
Because he didn't want to do it, right?
It's
not my will.
It's like spiritual battle, like within
will.
Words.
Yes, yeah. You understand? It's like, can you imagine? And his battle was, when he cried out, Abba, his battle was not where he was headed, mm-hmm. to the cross. That was horrific. But to Jesus, because the God we serve, the Bible says, is a God of truth and spirit. Mm-hmm. And he wants worshipers who will worship him in truth and spirit. So it wasn't about the flesh, even though that was horrific and it happened. It was about him being separated from God. You understand? And he's telling us, he came back and saw them sleeping, and he's like, here I am, ready to be separated from my father, right? Because of their sins.
Yeah, like, we don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their sins, and they are separated from all of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, and think about our lives, okay? Prayer changes things, you guys. It does. I don't think the enemy can work in your life the way that he does right now if you're in prayer about it. Prayer changes it. I don't think the enemy, when you hear his prayer in John 17, it's amazing. He's praying for his disciples because he knows what they're going to go through. You know what I mean? And it's around just before this time. It was coming into this same time period, but in John, okay? And so he's praying for them because he knows he's leaving. Mm-hmm. He's going to leave them, but not as orphans, because he's going to come back in spirit. You know what I mean?
Which part?
But he prays for his disciples because he knows what they're going to go through. He knows this struggle.
17?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then he prays for himself. Like, you know, and then he prays for those that will come because of his disciples being faithful and staying solid. Prayer, yeah, that's us. Prayer changes things. If they would have stayed up, could you not keep watch?
Just 1 hour.
Do you see the word?
How long is 1 hour back in those days?
Same time.
Still 60 minutes.
You know, when he says, could you not keep watch? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual battle taking
right.
place.
Yeah.
Could you not keep watching? Because when we're watching, we're not only praying for our own outcome in the Lord so that we don't fall into temptation, which is what he told them, but we're also praying for Matthew when Matthew's not around. We're praying for you. We're praying when we know Nick is struggling. We're praying, you know what I mean? Prayer changes things.
Amen.
Could you not keep watch? We should be crying, Abba, Father, when Matthew has a problem. We should be crying out, you know, keeping watch over each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus was like. Can you imagine?
Oh, that's right.
But to be separated from his daddy, his Abba.
Here comes my betrayer.
Don't go.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
That's some far out stuff, huh? Anyways.
Yeah, in that.
I feel that way, that's all I'm telling you.
In that, them going to sleep is like a representation of us falling out of the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Right, that's what that is.
It's not him ever leaving us, it's us.
Oblivious
to what we should be doing because
right.
we're not in him.
Right, and you explained it. If you're walking in step with the Spirit, you're going by what the Word says. But when you fall out of the Spirit, you start doing what you want to do.
But every one of them fell asleep, right?
Of course.
Every one of them.
Why do you think he came to a conclusion, right? Like, we should just go to another gospel.
Yes.
And read it. Which one do you want to go to?
Matthew's the longest.
Matthew's the best.
You want to go to Matthew?
Yeah.
So let's go to Matthew and read that.
26:36.
26?
Yeah.
I think so late? Yes. So late? That's about right. Because he's going to get arrested next, right?
Yeah.
It's only 28.
Yeah. Matthew 26:36.
You want to read it?
Sure.
Wait a minute, where am I going? I was reading this again.
Matthew 26:36. I knew something was happening. I didn't hear his pages turning.
He was reading something.
He was reading the chapter again.
I want to compare it to this one.
Yeah, I also guys want you to think about the spiritual aspect of them going to sleep, how it's a representation of us, right, in our spiritual walk. And what Jesus is asking.
Yes.
And then it'll come to that conclusion better. So go ahead.
All right, you guys all there?
I want to say one more thing before you go any further, okay?
Go for it.
Jesus knew they were going to fall asleep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He did not know.
Mm-hmm.
So this was not only for them, the way he confronted them, but it's for us to see. So we have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
So what's your choice going to be, Jay?
Yeah. Tell us.
Well, like... He knew he was going to die, but he also knew he was going to rise. But like, to something so fresh, something so innocent, to feel shame, like the strongest shame you could ever feel ever in your life, like as if it's that clean of shame, like to feel that weight all alone by yourself, that's like the heaviest thing you feel. But nothing heavier, no pain is worse. And then he was probably, I feel like he was telling him, like, can't you guys stay up and watch and pray? Because he knew, he loved them so much that he was going to be leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he was with them, he could protect them, but he was going to be leaving them. He wept when, who was it, Lazarus died?
Right.
Even though he knew he was going to raise him up, he was so hurt.
Yeah,
that even then he wept because he loved them so much. And these guys he was even closer with, and he knew he was going to leave them. But it was all for their benefit.
The concept of Lazarus is beautiful because... he hadn't died and rose yet. So Lazarus was really in the grave.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And that's why he wept and he got him out of there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, because God's not a God of the dead, but the living.
Right.
You know? That's pretty cool, Matthew. The
only
the only thing about adding back to what we were saying to go with your concept is he said to be watchful. And that's where it goes a little bit deeper into it because... he wants us to be more like him, and he is leading them. I get the whole thing, too, though, because he talks to them about it leading up to that.
Yeah, like, when he's gone, like, be watchful.
Mm-hmm.
You're not to, like, be in this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, where are you at?
36. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet as I will, not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping.
Could your men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Then he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
Yeah, betrayer. All damn to Judas. No, I'm just kidding.
What's that?
You know the bug. Truth is? The truth is, all of our sins were on the cross with him, so there's a little Judas in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In reality, we're all Barabbas.
We're all Barabbas. And he let us go free. Amen. Okay, that's
good.
Got
that from that song.
Yeah, I love that song. Yes. That song's so bomb.
I was reminded of a message at a service where they're talking about this. They're falling asleep, but he also brought in Eutychus in Acts 20. He was the one sitting in the window.
Yeah, when he fell
and
out.
Fell asleep, and the whole message was about us sleeping. You know, we're asleep. We're walking through life. Even when we think we're getting it, we're still sleeping. We're not fully getting what we could be. We all fall short, you know. And but spending the time with him, waking up and spending the time and waking up, you know, what does the Bible say? Wake up, O sleeper.
Yeah.
Redemption is near.
Yeah, that's one thing that I also saw in it is that this passage is telling us that This isn't about the disciples. This is about Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? And we could clearly see that men will lead us astray. They'll fall asleep. Mm-hmm. They'll do their thing, but Christ is going to do the will of the Lord all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so when you beat yourself up over the sin that you're doing, just remember it's not about you. It's about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So get back into your Word and do the next right thing. You know.
He never fails.
I was going to say, I think like the beauty between like just the way this one's described and the other one in Matthew is like it kind of just shows you right there like the mercy of God. You know, like Jesus is literally commanding his disciples to stay awake and they're not.
Right.
And he's already like it's already the mercy is on earth. Right? Like anybody to this point who's not did a command of God was put to death, you know, because they were out of line with God and whatnot. And Jesus is still like, okay, well, I'm going to go back and pray. Like, I just need you guys to stay awake. And then he comes back and they're still asleep. And it's like, he's very patient with them. You know, he's still very like, okay, but still like in a stern way, letting them know, like, you need to be awake so you can watch with me. Just try your hardest, you know, and they're still failing. And he's still like persistent with them. Like, come on. And it takes them 3 times, literally.
And even after the third time, when he comes back, he's like,
yeah,
can't
so it's
keep
too
going.
Late. Yeah. You know, like he's already being betrayed by that point.
Yeah.
It's a big picture, too, of watch and wait,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's where we're at these days, too. Watch and wait. Don't let him find you sleeping, you know, when the master returns, you know.
I find it like we have to make a choice.
It's a spiritual awakening, though.
We have to make choices because he tells us things. We know the truth, but we're not following it.
Mm-hmm.
That's that we're choosing to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to make that choice. When he shows us something, we have to make a choice to follow him. You know, how many of us, and I mean, don't raise your hand, it's between you and God, but how many of us know where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be acting, what we're not supposed to be doing anymore, and we're all still doing all those things? That's sleeping to me. And we already know. You know, I just hope one day he doesn't say enough. The door's closed already.
Hmm.
Yeah, why didn't you raise your hand?
You know what I mean? You know, I don't think he will because, like, Jacob just said, it's not about us, it's about him and what he did, but we just need to believe. But our us believing is doing, you know. It's we need to wake up to what we already know is true.
Yeah.
He already told them over and over and over again that he was going to be, you know, be given into the hands of the Romans and be killed.
Yeah.
And he had risen in 3 days.
He already told them he was going to be betrayed. Yeah. He already told them way ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Time has come.
They even asked him, and he's like, the one who dips his hand in the cup with me. And then they're like, what's he going to do? Go buy food for the poor? Or do we not have enough bread? Or
right.
They just asked the question. But, yeah. Just, you know, just, I say work on one thing. Like, there's probably a ton of things in our lives that aren't, that he's been calling us to change. Just pick one of them and work on it. When he gets you through that, pick another one. Before you know it, you'll get pretty deep into that, you know what I mean? And you'll your life will be changing.
Pretty soon you'll be like, Matt, you'll have 50 things and not all of them are accomplished. Oh, I'm just kidding.
For real. It's the truth about it, all of us. You can't.
It is. That's know, why.
If I live to be 80 or 90 years old, God's going to be working in me the same way he is now. Because I could accomplish all the things now. I've accomplished all the things in the past that he had for me. And I have just as many now as I did when I first started.
That's why I said that. You'll never, have the never, same number every single time.
Yeah, once he starts to work in you. It,
yeah, he's never going to give up on you.
Yeah, he'll it'll be there till it's complete.
There's a day.
I just hope that it says he'll finish what he started. You know, like
I think that's in Romans.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't get there. When you stand before him, it'll be finished.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of what you did, but because of what he did.
Amen.
So it's going to happen no matter what. But He says it in his Lord's Prayer, right? Jesus. On earth as it is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I think I said that backwards. But he's saying that he's working in our lives now, here, so that we'll be here the way one day it will always be. And the purpose for that is so that others will know that he lives. You know? Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. That's a song, but it's also the scripture. So, I don't know why I sang that to you. I should have rocked it. You know, so, freely. No.
He turns into a metalhead.
Drop D.
Anyways, pretty interesting. Freely, freely, people.
Angie, hi everyone. Just got off work, but I'm here.
Hi,
just not there.
What up, Ange?
Yeah, this goes. This also, like, another thing I see here in this scripture is that as you're seeing a temptation that he was truly man, and like the things that we go through, he knows what it's like to go through those things because he became fully man.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So like when you're like, well. Like, if you're fighting with God, and you're like, you don't even know what it's like. He knows what it's like. He was here.
He was like, how dare he?
Yeah, he was.
You can't turn around and think that he didn't know.
Right.
You know?
It's like, how dare he? I was tempted.
And it shows compassion. When you understand that, like, the compassion that he has for us. Because even as he's going through all this, he's not, like, frustrated with his disciples. He's just, like, disappointed. You know, his last moments with them.
Yeah.
You know?
And they were sleeping.
I want to say one more thing about it. Just one more. Okay, you ready for it, Matthew? Okay. If we're not being watchful for the Lord, we're being watchful for the enemy. Because if we're not living in him, we're living somewhere, doing something. If you go back to verse 10 and 11 and 14...
Matthew or Mark?
Mark.
Okay.
It says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this. It wasn't even their idea. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. Listen, you ready? So he was what? So he watched.
Mm-hmm.
For an opportunity to hand him over.
Hmm.
If we're not being watchful for the Lord, we're watching for opportunities to do other things.
What are you watching, man?
I'm watching you shake your head. I'm worried about you.
I'm worried about me, too.
Amen.
If I wasn't, I wouldn't be here.
Isn't that kind of crazy, though?
Mm-hmm.
I think it shows that where his true master was, too. Like, he probably loved God, especially the way he grieved over doing the such deed he did, but that had to be done. But it also shows that he put money above God, you know, as in that saying, you can't serve two masters.
Yeah, right there was his idea. He was looking for a way to get ahead. The Bible says he was stealing out of the money purse.
He was upset when the perfume was spilt all over his feet.
Yeah, it was just because he was going to take more out of the purse.
Because it was a whole year's wage.
Mm-hmm. Pretty trippy, huh?
Yeah.
So let's keep watch for the Lord, amen? Yeah. All the way that I tried to describe it to you guys earlier, it goes even further than that, but keep watch for yourself so that you don't fall into temptation, and keep watch for your brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in Christ, amen? Just pray for them. You know what happens when you pray for them and you really earnestly pray for them, like it's happening to you, like you're struggling with it again? Then God makes a way for you to be in their life and bring them out of it, to help them come out of it. Just what happens. He just opens doors. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's not you, he sends somebody else and you still get to see it. It's amazing. But, it's a, you know, because you know what the one thing Jesus said right there that's beautiful? And he told his daddy, let me read it to you because I forgot the exact words.
That's how beautiful it is. You forgot it?
I forgot the exact words. Oh, it's the next piece over. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. See it? Because everything up until this point, Jesus was in agreement with, and he received it all from his Father. Everything is possible for you. That's why we need to be in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And don't be in prayer with an agenda, because that's your will and not his will. Be in prayer with an openness to receive what he has.
Yeah, that's why you follow the outline of the Lord's Prayer, you know. So you stay in that mindset of doing the Lord's will, not your will and your prayers.
Everybody always comes to me with agendas. That's why I say that. They want it their way.
Especially me.
They want it.
And they want it now.
Right.
They want to do all these things with a Lamborghini.
This ain't the fast food restaurant.
Truthfully, Paul said, it's always me, right? But truthfully, we had a conversation yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he wasn't making it about him, but he was trying to be careful, you know, because he wants to, if God's going to do something, he wants to wait on God,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it has to be done now because he's running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time schedule, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, if you have the means to do it, just do it, because whether God's going to do it now or come through later, he's still going to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I understand it, too. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, but it's funny. Right. I just went through the same thing. That's why I brought it up to you, a couple months back. So, it's interesting. And he comes through every time. And the only
I didn't even have time to do it today, either.
And you know, the only time it takes, the only time that he doesn't come through and right away is when you're still harping about it. Because when you're, you're standing in the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I shared with you guys earlier.
It just means it's not time yet.
He's like, I would have had it done a week ago, but
Yeah, it's instead of waiting on him, when it says to wait on him, people take that wrong. They think, oh, I'm going to wait a long time. He hasn't come yet or whatever. When it says to wait on the Lord, it means to give in.
Mm-hmm. Give it to God.
To be free from it.
Bond with your life.
Yeah, because he will literally, because he wants to swoop in.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in the way.
Right.
That's the kind of God he is. He gave us free will.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to take this, but you won't let go of it. It's a tug of war.
Yeah. Do you remember the old story? That
Lord, I'm fighting with this. Take it.
That's the hardest part of every day.
I hate that right? So much.
And he's floating in the ocean.
Away
and, and he's praying, God, save me, save me. And this tugboat comes. And it's, and tugboat tells him, get on board. He goes, no, I'm waiting for God. God's going to save me. Right? And then next thing you know, a helicopter comes by. Dude, you need a line? No, I'm waiting on God, you know. And then he dies. He gets up to heaven, he's all mad at God. Like, dude, I was out in the ocean dying. I was praying to you, waiting for you. And you never came. He's like, well, dude, I sent you a tugboat and a helicopter. Come on.
Exactly.
What more do you need?
See, look at the sun.
Lamborghini?
I mean, everybody's heard that story, but that fits. Yeah. You know?
All right. On we go?
On we go.
Anyone have any more to say on that? No? Nothing? Zero? I would love to hear from you guys, just to let you know.
He did have a little attitude when he said enough.
Is that your will or is his will?
Well, what I love is the watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation.
Right.
Because he was telling them, pray, because he knows what they're going to go through. And their temptation did
That's
come.
What Matthew was sitting on. He knew what they were, you know, they were leaving.
Yeah. And so what ended up happening is they ended up falling away. They were tempted and fell. Mm-hmm. And right before that, he even told them, you guys are all going to fall away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know what sucks
not
about
so,
this?
Lord.
You know what really sucks about this?
Not
is
even
this is
the
my
point
life.
Of death.
He always says, enough, Matt. It's too late. It's already here. I'm like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Not again.
The consequences. Okay, Lord. Maybe I'll learn next time. Mm-hmm. That's
not again, Lord.
It's just this is the same thing that keeps happening.
Not another rock in my nose.
Mm-hmm. Oh. For real.
I like the. I saw a video of this guy talking about that same thing of. Kind of making the joke of, like, not again, not again. He's like, you got 20 more times to go, bro.
Yeah. But you know what's cool is even when we make these mistakes, 42 says, rise, let us go. He doesn't, you don't go by yourself still.
Yeah. We're going to go through it together.
He never leaves or forsakes you.
Here comes the betrayal.
Yeah.
And even when.
Here comes the betrayal right now.
Even when they were. Even when Jesus was dead. He still came back for them. He came back to speak to them and brought them back. And then he sent someone who was going to walk with them like he walked with them.
Amen.
All right, 43, here we go. Anyone want to read it? Anyone want to read it or no?
No, you missed it. Here comes the betrayer.
Yeah, don't forget that part.
The betrayer.
Thought we read that.
That's a big one right
mm-hmm.
there.
That's the big one.
Is that 43 for you guys?
No.
42.
42.
No, we're just playing. I'm just playing on it.
Oh. I'm not paying attention, sorry.
Mm-hmm. You're like half there.
That was a good example of what we're
talking
about.
He was sleeping.
Mm-hmm. That was a good example of what we're talking about, right? Look, we're driving down the mountain, right? And I'm telling him some story about what happened. And he looks down at his leg to remember a story that I'm telling him that happened to him. And he almost hit the car in front of us.
It was going like 10 miles an hour in a 50 zone.
Hold on a minute, you guys. He was literally looking at the car, but he couldn't see it because he was sleeping. Because his mind was somewhere else. You get it?
Yeah, you know, Matt needs to stop telling me stories on the way down the mountain.
I'm not saying
he's leading me astray.
I'm not saying anything against Jacob. I'm using it as an example. That's how we are. I need to be open to him. Betrayer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, here comes my betrayer.
Yeah. I try.
Now you gotta say that next time he's walking up to your car. Look, here comes my betrayer.
The whole time. But at the same time, I was willing to go with him. Come on, Jacob, let's go.
We would have hit that car hard.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, 50 on a 10.
Ooh. He's going 10 miles an hour and downhill.
Uh-huh. I don't know how to drive.
For reals, my dude.
Yeah.
No, get out of the.
Put it in neutral and go.
He caught it quick. It was okay. He caught it quick.
It's a newer car, so you know, it's got brakes from like heaven, you know.
heavenly breaks. Does your car have collision God gives us all heavenly breaks.
Oh, mine does.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Can you imagine? I've had this happen to me.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Dang, what are they doing with swords?
Right. Not acting like elders and chief priests.
44,
here we go. So ready?
44.
Mm-hmm.
Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.
Yeah.
And lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
Ouch.
Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but linen garment was following Jesus when they seized him. He fled naked, leaving his garment behind. What do you think that man was?
Mark.
Whoa, spoiler, bro.
Did he say I was that man?
I'm going to be a spoiler.
I was trying to let someone else think about
it. Oh, you guys should be listening.
Say it again.
What do you think that man? Who do you think that man in the garment was?
Mark.
Right on, little man.
Like pastor, like child.
So much fun. So much fun, Matt is. Tells you the end of the story, though. Right.
He's like, this is why I got these. For listening.
Okay, who cut off who's ear?
It doesn't say Peter cut off the high priest's servant's ear.
Yeah, according to another gospel.
No, no. When Jesus
and it was reattached.
Did he put the ear back on?
He sure did.
And another gospel.
Wow.
Not in this one.
One
this
says
one
who had struck it off. The other one says he reattached it.
One of them says both.
And then
one says both of what? I think it's John.
Chopping
says
off
both.
And putting it
in
your mouth.
Wasn't that same servant one of them that? Oh, you were there with him.
Yeah.
It says that the servant's family, family member was there.
Right.
Of course,
he said that.
And he denies it.
Right.
Like, bro, you chopped my ear off. I know who you are.
Yeah, right. You're the guy.
Come on, bro.
Hey, I remember you.
You think I forget a face like that? You chopped my ear off, bro.
I was able to see it. Imagine. It just be like.
By the way, what a...
Oh, not me, no.
I don't even know that guy.
By the way, what amazing swordsmanship you have there.
They're not cutting people's ears off.
You're trying to protect your lord, and that's all you could do is cut the guy's ear off.
What's wrong with yours?
Is he a swinger?
What are you thinking?
Too much noise.
Are you thinking something? I saw it.
Yeah, the thinking face.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just confused about the man, the young man. What did he do?
He had a garment, and he took it off and left it and fled naked.
He was just running. He didn't care about his clothes at that point. He just ran.
I don't think he took it off. I think
he lost it running.
Oh, it fell off while he was running. Yes, I'm sorry.
And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him.
They grabbed him and he ran out of his clothes
basically.
Yeah.
They grabbed his loincloth.
So they were going to try to take everybody then. It wasn't like, well, they were after Jesus, but they were going to try to take.
I think there's one gospel.
There is?
Yeah. Matthew, Mark, or,
okay,
Matthew, Luke, or John.
Oh.
Okay, wait a minute. Where are we going?
To figure out which one it is, but one of the gospels said that Jesus said, "Well, let these go."
Yeah, he said these have nothing to do with this.
Oh yeah,
this
yeah,
John.
Yeah. I'm not.
Is that John?
Is it John? John has everything.
I think I read it on Easter, bro.
He tells you who cut off the ear too.
Johnny.
Good John.
By the way,
good John.
John 18, I think.
Isn't this about who ran to the tomb faster as well?
Right.
Peter
Peter was slow.
Mm-hmm. I like how like John always references himself, like third person. But we know what he's doing. You know what I mean?
That's kind of what
the man whom Jesus loved.
Mark was doing when he lost his loin.
It wasn't me. He was referencing but it was himself.
Because he was an eyewitness.
You know, and John,
I think that's
too,
what that states is like.
John's also the only gospel that says when they asked who they were looking for, and he said, "It is I," that they fell over. They
oh
no
yeah.
Authority. They had no authority to arrest him unless he freely gave himself. Because when they said who, when he said who, well, let's just read it. Can I read it?
Yeah. I love
John
this.
18.
I love.
Am I right, John?
Explains. What are you going to go from four?
I think I'll just read the whole thing. No,
let's go for it.
All right, John 18.
John 18. When he had finished, praying, Jesus left. Left with his disciples and crossed over. Oh yeah, you're right. Started 4. Thank you. We're starting at 18:4.
There you go.
Oh.
Jesus, knowing all that was going on, or all that was going to happen to him, went out, and asked them, "Who is it you want?" And Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He said, "I am he." And Jesus said, and Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. They had no power over him. He freely went with them.
Yeah.
Can you imagine he just said, "I am he," and they just, boop. That's bomb, huh?
Sonic boom. Broke the sound barrier, so they all fell back.
dropped the bomb.
7.
Mm-hmm. I guess it wasn't that funny.
Oh yeah, 7.
It was
again,
funny
he
to
asked
me.
Them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he." Jesus answered, If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you have given me." Whenever I read that scripture in the other place where it actually took place, they're quoting it here.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew that he's, like I shared with you a minute ago, he's the God of the living, not the dead. So anyone who accepts him and believes in him, amen, confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart, amen, they're saved. And so he's not going to lose not one that's been given to him. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
See, and at this time, he hadn't raised from the dead yet. Interesting. Finished reading. I don't think I did. I already closed it.
It says, again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happens so that the words have been fulfilled, spoken. Oh, did we already read that part?
Going 10.
Keep going.
You got it.
"I have not lost one of those who you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest. Whatching.
That's a her question.
Cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers. Hey, dang, you know that right there is like a reference back to when Jesus was like, "Get behind me, Satan," right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's telling him again, "You don't want to do the Lord's will."
Mm-hmm.
You try not to do the Lord's will, huh?
Are you trying to be Satan again?
Then the detachment of soldiers, when its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus, they bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people.
Ooh, he even prophesied.
You know, I have a comment on that one. You know, it's funny. He doesn't need to put a hands on anything for him to heal or anything, you know? Huh. So the part where they say they bounded him, I was like, why? He's not going anywhere. You know, if he's going to heal somebody and take care of him, he can do it from right then and there. Why bound him? But it's just the Romans' way of doing things, right? Or the ones that were.
I would assume.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you arrest someone, you usually go under some type of restraint.
Restraint, yeah. Well, you also have to think, this is what I love about this, is just seeing that part, like when he said, I am he, they fell over, right? Mm-hmm. Showing the power that Jesus had, that if he wanted to, he could even walk away from that situation.
It's
but, it was Jesus's will that he, or sorry, God's will that he would go into that, and like he says, drink the cup. Mm-hmm. But if you also look at the end when he dies, it says that he gave up his spirit, meaning even death had no hold over him, because he wasn't going to die unless he gave it up. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love about it, is these small little things, the wording on it shows that he gave up his spirit, that he let them bind him, the power that he had at those moments.
In this one, he's talking to Pilate, tells him directly. He says, like, I have the power to release you or to crucify you, because he's questioning him, and he tells him, like, you don't have the power. It's, like, mm-hmm. It's not my father. Like, yeah. You don't have the power. So he tells him straight up, like, he's like, I can kill you or not. He's like, you don't got it, man.
You only have what has been given to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you, somebody with a smartphone, look up that name?
Malchus?
Yeah.
Why?
I want to know what it means.
One of the ears will get cut off.
I was going to say.
It means earless. Right. I'm just curious.
That's the one that got the ear cut off?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
And then Luke.
The meaning of the name?
In Luke, his ear gets healed.
Uh-huh. Oh, in Luke?
Yeah, it says in Luke 22. 22:49 says, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him.
So it didn't fall to the ground. Nobody picked it up and put it back in his hand, right?
Yeah, it got lost. Got lost in the soil. And like Jesus was like, grow back.
Grow back.
Or maybe he just went like that. A new one grew and they kicked the other one to the curb.
Yeah. Right.
And then they called him reptile.
Yeah, but
it said they cut it off. So
it says ruler, counselor, judge, or king.
Oh, interesting. Ruler, counselor, judge, or king.
Is that what the name means?
Yeah.
Malchus.
Mm. That's what it means.
According to the Greek?
Greek, Hebrew.
Yeah.
Because they split it up as Malchus.
Ruler, counselor, something, or king.
Judge or king.
Judge.
Judge or king.
15 minutes, get your prayers in.
Dang, man.
15 minutes.
That was too fast.
Where are we at now?
We are back.
I believe 50.
We're still sleeping.
Did we get through that whole
thing? Oh, that's just me.
We didn't finish talking about Mark because we started jumping all over the place,
right.
But we're at 53.
Do you know that what we're doing right now is
fellowship?
It's a stimulant to keep us awake.
This is our
reading?
Coffee.
No, being in the Word.
This is our coffee.
I just made
Joe says,
right,
each gospel has
spiritual
its own special piece of the crucifixion and death. Yes, it does, and
amen.
That's why you got to read them all,
yeah,
and piece it together.
Mm-hmm. I had a book years ago that
you still have it.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You shared it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because I made him buy it.
Mm.
When I first started walking, I was like, I want to go through like step by step, where we just take all four of the Gospels and go over them all at once in like chronological order. He still has it.
Yeah,
step
it,
by
it
step, one by one.
Mm. So you hear the whole story.
Jacob's Ladder.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome. It brings you into such a great perspective.
You should bring it.
We should go over it.
Like when Peter walked on water,
is
the one that he got the most out of. Because when you look at it, he was far enough away that they thought he was a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people think that he just got back in the boat, like, oh, you know. The most important part of that story is, which I shared with you on this one too, is that even though Jesus said enough, he still went and said, come on, and he went with him. He never leaves us or forsakes us, but when Peter came back up out of the water, because he was sinking, when he came back up out of the water, he he had to have the faith still even holding Jesus's hand or whatever to get back in, to walk back to the boat. Mm-hmm. That's the faith where we want to be. We don't want the faith where we believe in something. We want the faith where we're living our belief. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. 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 The faith before stepping out into the water, right?
Matt, why did you tell?
You see? You get it?
Yeah.
We don't want that kind of faith, because that's a faith where we believe, but we're not in 100% yet, you know?
Yeah.
We want a faith where we're living it.
Blessed are you, for you have seen it, but blessed are those who have not seen and believe.
You know how you know you have a faith that you believe that you're in it?
Can't get in it.
When you're not moved by anybody else, any situation or any place or thing. Do you get it? Your faith remains what it is no matter what. That's crazy, huh?
Like Stephen.
Stephen
in Acts.
Sorry, I realized after I said it, I was like, this will be kind of funny.
That's a good example, Stephen being stoned.
Because he wasn't there seeing it. He probably heard of it, because it might have been around that time. I'm guessing it would have been. But he didn't see it. But yet, next thing you know is, he still had so much belief that he was willing to die and even said, forgive them.
Yeah, he was living his faith. He gave a message that convicted the hearts of everybody there. He got stoned for it, and he asked for forgiveness for them while he was dying.
Yeah, it was like a full chapter.
That's living your faith.
That was his message, is literally a full chapter.
Amen.
I remember going through that, and I'm like, yeah.
Remember when Jesus said, you'll see angels coming and going? That's pretty much what he saw, because the Bible says that heaven was open to him. When he was being stoned. That's beautiful. Because of his faith. Living his faith. Amen. Okay.
What do you think about what he said when Peter chopped his ear off?
Ouch.
I'm sure one of them said that.
Ouch. That was a good one.
Everything God's like never gets old. It's a knee slapper every time.
It's like, I've heard this so many times, and every time it's funny.
I think she's probably right.
Stoned? What does it mean to be stoned?
Probably right.
Not it means literally taking a stone and throwing it until that person is dead.
Yeah, it would be like all of us throwing stones at you until
I thought so.
Nothing exists.
It's not, we'll keep
not
picking up stones
mean
and throwing
today.
It and going. Going. Don't think about today's meeting. Think about that.
Until you totally die.
There was a gang of people doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like a like almost like a democratic thing.
Okay.
Welcome back, Grace. Well,
why?
He did not just say that.
He did.
If you're listening, Zuckerberg.
Now we've been booted from Facebook.
Because I said democratic?
Our democracy.
Political.
Democratic means it's like a mob rule.
Yeah,
that's what literally it means. Like
that's all you meant by
it. Are you so much more sense?
Facebook
and YouTube.
The question is, after he cut off the ear and he healed him, why did they still want to take him, knowing he just performed a miracle by putting back his ear?
Right,
because they were told to. Because they were told to.
Still, though, the same guys that did that.
It's a miracle, man.
You whipped him, beat him.
You won't want to do that
him.
If you see the miracle for yourself. Mm-hmm. You back out. You bow out.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't want to.
No. They love darkness more.
They even.
Well,
they
the hardened heart. That was the high priest, is what
they
it
even
says.
Knew. They stood and mocked him at the cross and said, "You saved others, save yourself."
Yeah,
you know?
I remember that part.
And it also, what we were reading, it says that was the high priest. Whose ear got cut off?
No, it was
the servant.
But the high priest was probably there for most of the stuff, seeing him do these miracles and all these things, and the servant
still
is with the high priest. And so that means that even the servant would have known.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew hit a home run because he said that they love darkness instead of light. And and it's the same way.
Yeah.
It's the same way when we were talking about sleeping and stuff. It's the same way today. If we know
Find
the truth and we do the opposite, Mm-hmm. It's because you love the opposite more than the
truth. Enough to.
But that's why I keep trying to tell you guys that it was so important that he kept going back when they were sleeping. Like, come on, you guys. Like, come on. Like, there's going to be things if you're not focused, if you're not with me, if you're not, you know, and you go back again even a little further, you know, when Jesus knew that when he got taken out that they were going to scatter. You know, you can't do anything without him. So, you need to quit loving. You know what's going to happen? It's sad. It's really sad to me. But I believe the same thing's going to happen.
That sucks. That sucks.
I believe the same thing's going to happen when Christ comes for the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the church is going to remain here, and the Christian's going to go to be with him.
Nick's got us.
Did you guys hear what he said?
No, one more time. I was
sleeping, Lord.
She was sleeping.
I was sleeping.
I was literally thinking that. I was sleeping, Lord. I'm sorry.
I say, we did that.
Now, this is my understanding, my own personal understanding, so don't take it to heart, okay?
Okay.
But I believe that when he comes for the church is going to stay here, and only the Christian is going to go to be with him. There's a lot of people playing church. There's a lot of people
speaking Christian. I mean, churches are just material things, right? Not, you know.
No, the church is the people in it.
He's talking about
people make the church.
Yes, exactly.
If you don't believe, then you're not going out.
Exactly. That's what's sad is that the way things are being shared now, it's not God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And people are being, they're deceiving themselves and deceiving others. And, That's why we never look to man. Sister, I'm a wretched. I'm gutter trash. Do you understand?
I have
a
link to it.
You calling me gutter trash? Sister. But, you know, if somebody's not leading you to Christ,
should say something.
Then it's wrong.
Certainly not on the contrary.
If he's not the most important thing in your life, then it's wrong.
Right. He should be first, always.
Mm-hmm. Making him first makes everything first.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you guys went over, what Jesus said to Simon after he chopped his ear off, right? Or no?
Did you go over there?
Enough of this.
He's been in the book.
Like what he said?
Oh, go.
All right, so... when the sword was struck and the servant's ear was cut off, right?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Sorry, I have distracted him.
Does anyone have any idea what he's saying there?
By the way, my commentary said that, and I don't usually read it, but I did this.
Reading time. Commentaries? What?
I did, it was weird, I just read something.
Who is this man? What have you done with Matt?
I'm telling you, I never do it, but... But it said that the Hebrew word for the original writings of this said it wasn't a sword, it was a knife. Yeah.
So just a small
like
knife.
A dagger.
It wasn't a big one.
Yeah.
But he got close enough to him to cut the air.
Yeah.
That means he was like right here.
Right in his face. So he should have known what was coming.
It's probably more like
small. How did you do that?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Sharp. Well, if you want to know how you did that, look at Jacob's fingers. That's how he did it.
What's the question again?
Why do you think Jesus said that to Peter when they came with? Like you gotta understand what's going on.
Okay.
In the dead of night, men roll up on you with clubs and swords, and they're gonna try and arrest you, like. Take a modern take on that. You're in an alley at night, and men roll up on you, and they're trying to take you down or take you somewhere, right?
And they have swords and clubs.
Well, it's probably more like
guns
modern,
and,
you know,
and pipes.
American way, you know? More the American way.
Yeah.
Right? And,
still pipes.
Like, how would most people react in that situation if they have some type of defense on them?
Defensively.
Yeah, they would.
Very
they would act defensively, right?
Quite literally.
And I'm trying to find it, but like nobody has any idea what Jesus, well, like why Jesus said John, that?
Right?
No, no, not back in John, but in Mark, verse 48. He says, am I leading a rebellion?
Mine says, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. Jesus talking about the people, but mm-hmm. he's talking about when he drew the sword to cut off the guy's ear.
In Mark, I don't believe that that's what it said, though.
Verse 48.
Mark, it says, am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus,
yeah.
that
yeah,
you have come out with sword and club
okay, so, yeah,
to capture me?
To 48 is what you mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think it must have been, maybe I'm going the wrong way with this, now that I'm reading it. But I think it might have been in the Luke one.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like yeah. Luke, right? Because that's when he says, "Like, do should I? You not want me to like do the will of my father?"
Right? Yeah. Yeah. In the one
John's
in Luke.
John. Yeah, so.
Was it John?
John 18.
Okay.
John 18, not Luke. Well,
what,
is where we went.
Sure. There you go. You get to read Mikey.
Okay, Mikey's got it.
Ephesians.
Mike.
So,
Ephesians.
Mike said this.
Okay.
So for you, this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Ephesians what?
Ephesians 5:5-14.
That part about the light manifesting, it's when we spend time with God, he reveals it to us. It's beautiful. That's what Matthew brought up earlier. They love darkness, and Mike defined it. I was reading something and I lost my place, but whatever.
I kind of want to read this. It kind of goes along with like how this is a letter from the first century. It's not.
I like what
this is a letter from an apostle after the apostles, like probably a generation or two after. But this is like someone who knew the apostles, right?
Yeah.
And he's talking about how the Lord came, right? He says, perhaps he sent him as one might suppose to rule by tyranny, fear, and terror. Certainly not. On the contrary, he sent him in gentleness and meekness, as a king might send a son who is a king. He sent him as God. He sent him as a human to humans. When he sent him, he did so who saves by persuasion, not compulsion, for compulsion is no attribute. No attribute of God. When he sent him, he did so as one calling, not pursuing. When he sent him, he did so as one loving, not judging, for he will send him as judge. And who will endure his coming? Do you not see how they are thrown to wild beasts to make them deny the Lord? And yet they are not conquered. Do you not see as one of them are punished, the more others increase? Talking about like when they were persecuted. Because he lived after Nero, this man. Like he saw all Nero stuff. And what he's talking about is the Lord didn't come as someone who was forcing you to change your ways. It is someone who shared it in a gentle way to persuade you in the lovingness of what was given. And you can see a lot of that in the way he's being arrested, right? He comes with showing that there is no power that they have, but in doing so, he's going along with them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Trying to share with them. Like in one gospel, he puts the ear back on the guy, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. How could you arrest that guy after he chopped your ear off? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, who are you going to serve at that point?
Me and Matthew just read John 18:11. It's going with exactly what you're talking about. It's also what I was telling you guys before. But it says, Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me to drink?
Yeah.
We're going to have to endure. Christ endured this, and we're going to have to endure things as Christians, as followers of his, because it brings about salvation.
Yeah, and that's one of the key sentences I read out of here was, like, we don't act on compulsion. For compulsion comes from, and other versions of it, it says hatred or violence. Like, we don't act in violence, for violence is an attribute of God, right? And that's kind of what happened there. You know, he kind of just, in the moment of things, he chopped a guy's ear off, right? Going at it.
He didn't think twice about it.
Right.
Touch him and I'll
pass by the way.
Right.
You want to know the real truth of that story that'll blow your mind?
That man was there when he denied Christ for the third time?
No.
Oh.
That's cool, too. Man, I'd arrested him right there at the fire. Like, you cut my ear off, punk!
It was kind of like, hey, I know who you are. And Peter was like, oh, no, I'm not that guy. Bro, you chopped my ear off.
Because I forgot what I was going to tell you.
The ear
Jesus arrested
when he denied him.
Chopping the ear off and putting it back on.
You want to know what the real beauty of the story is?
You want to know the real truth of that? Is Peter proved that he would have died for him.
Yeah.
Because there's no way they would have lived when there was a legion of soldiers there, plus all these other mob, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just from the soldiers, they wouldn't have been able to live. If they decided to battle, they would have been killed there.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus run away?
No, so he was willing to die for Christ, just like he said. Mm-hmm. But that was not of God, that was of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Peter was thinking in
the world. This is the point he's trying to make.
So yeah.
It's what I shared with you a minute ago. No place, person, mm-hmm. no person, place, or thing should dictate our faith.
Right.
When we're living our faith, those things don't dictate our faith. You get it?
Yeah.
What you got?
Cyrus has something.
I'm confused. Like, who got the ear chopped off?
One of the servants.
One of the servants that went and arrested Jesus to take him back.
Who chopped it off?
Peter did.
Peter did.
One of the disciples.
Or you can think of Simon, who changed his name.
Yeah, so like, if we act on compulsion, like, think about it. Like, if you read the book of Acts alone, like, every time someone was stoned, every time someone was attacked, did they attack back?
I mean, well, they...
No, they stood there and took it. Not only that, when someone wasn't actually stoned all the way, he got back up. He said, I ain't done with this message. I'm going back out there. And they're like, you're crazy, bro. Get out of here.
Goes back into the, I think
and he does it.
Dead, and they mm-hmm. went and prayed over him and he got up again. It was Paul, and he went right back into the town and preached again.
You know, like... And he didn't act in compulsion. He didn't start chucking rocks back, saying, you don't know who God is. I do. You know, he said, no, Lord, forgive them.
Mm-hmm. You know why that's important? Because if that's happening to you, they already know that what they're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, if it's happening to you, God's going to use it, so it's going to come out in the wash.
Yeah.
God's going to use it for his glory, so...
And it's not you who they persecute, it's the Lord at that point.
But what I
because
say
you're an ambassador of
when
Christ.
When I say it's going to come out in the wash, it means that we don't have to defend ourselves anymore in Christ. Because he's going to use that, because when it comes out, people's lives are going to change because of it. Do you understand?
What'd you got, Cyrus?
How would you get stoned?
Usually by... In the context of the Jewish law, you'd be breaking one of the commands that is one of those things that would put you to death. Like,
punishable by death.
Yeah.
Adultery, murder. You'd have to read the law, and it had a bunch of them.
Blasphemy
of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because how I've walked this through is like...
Or blasphemy of God.
Yeah. We're not judges, right? At least not yet. Mm-hmm. We will be when we sit at the right hand, right? Is that what it says? Something like that?
We will rule with him.
Right, like we'll be sitting. We'll sit right next to him, judging with him. Right? Is that what he says? Come on, someone help me.
Judging the 12 tribes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
I don't want to speak wrong. You know what I mean? Come on.
If that's the case, we need to talk about some other
things. Since when, Matt?
But so, like, when you walk this out, like, we're not here to judge people. You know, so if someone comes at you wrong, like, don't make the judgment and act on it.
Yeah.
Right? Is what he's like. What you should be doing is like doing your best to show what it is to be Christ-like.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we turn the other cheek. It's, you know, if you're just as quick to do harm back, then you're of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Because the world is only there to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the ultimate judgment is from someone who has authority that God gave it to or God himself. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not us to go against another brother because we think we're in the right. No,
mm-hmm.
our only job is, and in something like that, is to pray for that other brother and live a life that they can see that they might want eventually in their walk.
Already walk with them. We're like in the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. We're the one that had a huge debt and we're forgiven for it. If we turn around because you're
right.
Dang, Matt, preach it.
You're going to prison until you pay me
every last penny.
That's what it's like.
But that was only 20 bucks.
You guys want to know something?
I forgive you.
When Jacob was talking a minute ago, is Jesus said, if you thought these things, you did them.
Yeah.
So even when we talk about somebody and we do things in a manner that is vindictive towards that person because of what they did to us, it's the same principle.
Yeah. If you've done it in your heart, you're guilty of it.
Tearing down, instead of building up. And it's hard to build up when somebody's tearing you down, but you're called to build them up.
That's part of the opening of the eyes that Christ can say it's not just an outside thing, it's a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that's inside of you. If you look at a woman with lust, you're doing this. If you hate somebody in your heart, you've already killed them.
Mm-hmm. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Amen.
I will repay.
But that's what I'm talking about, though. Okay. See, because we in church, I hear it all the time. I even hear it come out of my own mouth sometimes, and it's been killing my heart because somebody says or does something behind somebody's back. You know what I mean? And then if it's behind your back, right away you want to retaliate or you want to defend yourself or you wanted this or you wanted that. And all that's doing is the same principle.
Right.
We're destroying instead of building up. You know, it literally changes the heart of the person. You know what I mean? It's even against you when they realize that no matter what, you're not against them, that you love them. That's what changed every one of our hearts that are sitting here. And that's what Christ did on the cross for us. And that's what drew all of us to him.
Amen. Matt, God had a plan for Peter. He had a purpose to be a shepherd who feeds sheep. That was Mikey.
What if he would have stayed with the sword business?
Yeah.
And he did, because look at, he denied Christ. We're going to read about it later. But he denied Christ.
Spoiler.
He even took people with him back into the world to go on fishing again.
Spoiler.
Then he meets Christ on the shore.
Spoiler.
And Christ tries to restore him three times, and he still says, what about John?
Spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, it took a lot for him to
get. Well, technically, that's only in John.
Peter was like that the whole way through. He's pretty rough.
Go on, Acts. Paul Revere.
He was a Matthew.
Oh,
yeah.
Spoiler.
Curious guy, huh?
Paul rebukes him in Matthew, too, for siding with the Jews.
Yeah, I've been very seriously struck by what I'm talking about because, man, I've had people love me when I was the worst. And they loved me in Christ. They really cared about me and loved me and stuck it out with me. You know, part of it is when you see a brother or sister struggling, you need to really pray hard, like I was saying, it changes things. And God usually finds a way. He'll put you in their life, even if they're against you. And you'll be able to walk with them out of this. Mike said something to me one time. I don't know if he remembers it or not, but him and Matthew had a friend, and he was in a lot of trouble. He's on drugs all the time. I took him to a drug program. Mike went with me, and we dropped him off. And it was supposed to be like a year-long program, you know. But he didn't make it to the end of the program, and he screwed up again really bad. But one of the things that Mike told me back then, and this is before he was tied down by anything,
First
you know.
Peter 2, 13,
3, he almost wishes he would have checked himself in with him, because then he would have stayed. You guys, we have to check ourselves in with somebody.
Hey, I agree with that
100%. And we need to walk with them. I told somebody this last weekend. He was telling us about his life, and it was serious. And he was serious, and he was struggling with it. And I told him, you can give that up right now, or you can struggle with it for 30 years. And I used the whole stop sign thing, only we were sitting on this long deck. And I told him, how long would it take you to walk to the end of the deck? You know what I mean? But this time I added to it. Something I apologize to you for, Paul, because I should have did it then. But I told him I would walk with him to the end of the deck.
You could have took me to a stop sign.
He left at
the street. Hey, that second half part is, I think, one of the most important things, because that's how you build a better society. Mm-hmm. It's not about how you cast your vote. It's about what you do with the people in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You gotta build culture.
I remember I told you this when I was talking about it with leaders.
About what?
With leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what I was telling you about that? Is a leader is
something causing it.
Someone who follows Christ, right?
You.
I'm waiting.
She was the only one listening, so I shared with her. Go on.
I know, but I couldn't have two conversations going.
That
wasn't gonna work.
That's right. People don't care.
But anyway, what I was telling you was that one time was a leader is someone who follows Jesus, right? And so they're a follower. Instead of a leader, they're a follower of Jesus. The only difference is they're showing other people how to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's a leader. And that's the important part, is you're showing other people. It means you're with, like Matt and Jacob is saying, you walk with them, you're with them. That's how you lead, is you lead by example.
A good leader never has to say anything.
They just do.
Mm-hmm. Far out, huh?
12 after.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Talking about the man of the house.
Man of the house.
Man of the house of the Lord.
Right.
That was a little hard.
Yep. I'm going to side with Jacob on that one. Man of the house is the Lord.
You've been hanging around him too much?
That's a good way out.
Of trouble. Sorry, sister. I will be praying with you. And if you need me to walk with you, I will.
Just got it. That was a little slow on
that
one.
Good. Thank you, Stephen. That was good.
That was Jacob's joke. And Jacob said that because he doesn't want to be in charge of it.
I'm just the first domino that falls, you know? I ain't no leader.
He's like, I fell first. I ate the apple.
No, no.
53 next time.
Jacob's like, I ate the apple.
Though, I want, yes. My sister's flying in tomorrow from Iowa. Pretty sure she has a safe flight and everything.
42 we left on.
53.
I have to open this as fast as possible because
53
usually come in.
53,
right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Straight
to the right page.
No, I was wrong. You should be used to that by now.
Yeah. Yeah. What you got, Cyrus? You got a prayer?
It's for
today.
For thanks?
53.
Oh, you're thankful?
He was supposed to let everybody know for a praise and whatnot, but one other thing that we wanted is to share with everybody was we got news that next year he'll be going into the 6th grade instead of the 5th grade.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, you skipping a grade too?
Yeah.
Dang. Got smarty over here.
Older women?
Dang.
Get behind me and say 10.
The pastor.
Now you got the wife on you.
Wow. Homeschooled.
You're like, nah, I'm worried.
Yeah.
Now you got the mom worried.
Okay.
Now we can't go hang out with Pastor Matt by ourselves, huh?
Amen.
You guys have to have chaperones.
Yeah.
I guess he can't walk with you.
Yeah, right.
Matt, you're going to have to walk.
Janine, your sister?
Yeah.
J-A-Y-E-N-E. You're right. I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
We prayed for her a while back, too.
Watch him closely so he doesn't slip.
We prayed for her a while back, too.
Yeah, we did.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't forget
Tina. My
son, Tina.
Matthew, he skipped a
grade,
too.
Don't forget Orlando. Don't forget Jackie.
He struggled at first, but he got
it.
She's mumbling.
I know, she sounds like
he's asleep over there.
He's going.
She almost is.
Yeah, I'll go home and crash, man. Shower and crash.
I'm going to get behind
you. So if there's any downfall.
There you go. Walk with your sister. Walk with it. Oh, yeah. Dang, she's
Jerry, I'm getting you home in 1 minute.
You can't teach me nothing.
It's been a long 14 years.
Any other prayer?
Good.
You guys, before Mary Jane leaves, let's pray for her.
Okay,
ready?
Pray she gets Jerry home on home without an accident.
I'll just pray real quick, then we'll pray again. Father, because she's leaving. Father, we just want to pray for her. Mary Jane, Lord, she seems tired today, and that's not herself, Lord. She's normally a fireball, and I just ask, Lord, you continue to just help her to get better and better and better, Lord, and you know, these migraines and things like that that she gets, Lord, and allergies and things, Father, they just, the people don't realize how much they tire you out, but they really do, and I just ask, Father, that you bless her with nothing but good health all the time, Lord. We like the little fireball cruising through here, Lord. And so we just ask that you bless her, Lord. Get her and Jerry home safe in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, I'll be better Thursday. I will be better. I'll get some rest.
Okay.
This has just been a fast-paced week.
Yes, it has.
I wasn't able to catch that guy's name from the liquor store. Yeah.
Man from liquor store.
Yeah, I should have.
You know,
tried
Lord,
to catch it.
Please. You know.
Right. We just didn't exchange names. I don't even think he took mine.
You're probably like, that dude was an angel, bro. You know how people
like,
are? Like, oh, dude, I just ran into this guy. I never got his name, but it was like. Like he was an angel. It was like he was sent from God. You know?
I drove
and
back,
like, and it came twice.
I drove back like 3 hours later, and he was still sitting at that bus stop.
Yeah, Janet.
Yeah, put that Janet on there. Orlando prayed for a guy at the store the other day, and it was he thinks now him telling me the story and him telling me that the guy knew me and all this stuff and the tattoos in there. I think it's one of Angie's sons, Carlos, that he was praying for.
Oh.
And I don't think Angie's seen Carlos for a while, so that's a good thing that we know that he's. I'm sure that's who it was.
Who ran into him?
Orlando from here. He didn't know who he was. He just was randomly talking to somebody, and he prayed with him, and he told him about the church, and he said, "I know Matt." And I think the only person I can think of because of the size and the way he described it to me, the tattoos, was and his name being Carlos. I'm pretty sure it was Angie's son, Angie's oldest boy.
Also, just for my my cousin Harrison as well, he just finalized like all kinds of stuff with the mother of his children and the courts and whatnot. So just to be in good spirits and
Harrison,
yeah, and I guess just an opening to be able to speak to him as well.
Praise God. That's what I wanted you to put Carlos on there for the same reason.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Just let me know who I have to take care of. This is a very good topic. Yes.
Angie?
Orlando.
Orlando.
Well, and Tina says thank you for all the prayers.
Amen.
You know, they've been so helpful for her.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting our coworker David, keep his uncle in prayer because they just found out like a cousin of his about my age died from a heart attack. Dropped dead, like he was in a restaurant and just all of a sudden a major heart attack and he died. So keep his uncle in prayer because he's going to be going through it because he was really close with him.
Uncle and family.
Yeah.
At least it was quick. On the bright side.
Yeah. Just don't know.
He found out, I think, actually today.
This one?
I don't know.
Also, too, I'm trying to get back into my workout routine and whatnot, so that takes a lot of just willing dude. You know?
I know.
And it's also the time that I try my best to crack open my Bible and whatnot, so I kind of want to realign with having that for myself. So.
Ooh, you alright?
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
Any others?
No. Surgery.
Pretty good. That's awesome. Yeah. I have a couple of options.
Hoping I can start writing the podcast.
Kind of cool. I was thinking about the other day.
You can, you just gotta put your mind to it.
I was thinking about it in a different way.
I love to go back to running the miles like I used to do.
Interview.
Nick's interview?
I love mine.
Nick's schooling too.
I love running.
Before Eric split on us, not gonna be back, but he was like, we should just do church field trips. Just go to other churches. I was like,
yeah. We talked about it. We did go to a few at the end of the last year. I think we only went to like one, maybe two.
Other men's breakfasts is what we needed.
Yeah,
to do.
I think we only did one though.
Yeah, we went to the one in the way in Pomona. Mm-hmm. That's the only one we did. No one else was coming up with ideas.
Yeah, that's my bad. I was slacking.
Jordan has his prayer.
We were slacking. I don't know. Did Jackie take her test?
Disability. It's 21.
Yeah, she took her test. Pray for her because it was a heart injury. Heart test.
Okay. Heart test. Yes. Yeah, pray for Jackie. Pray she's trying to get on with the county.
And she got real bad allergies right now. So. Pray for her.
The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson or what?
No.
I don't. Okay.
The Rock?
Mm-hmm.
You know somebody at The Rock?
No.
Yeah.
Mary's next door neighbor goes to The Rock.
Oh, yeah, Sarah Sonia.
Sarah Sonia.
I'll go to The Rock. Really humongous church. You don't know who's just sitting next to you. It's a nice church, but.
This temple is so beautiful. What?
I didn't say anything.
Go ahead, Cyrus.
You're the temple.
I tell you, one stone will not be left on another.
What's that?
My state test looks like everything.
You're skipping a grade. What do you have to worry about?
Mm-hmm.
You better get straight A's, boy.
Words.
I expect A plus straight A's.
I am sorry for you.
I would.
This is why I don't bring expectations. I bring disappointment.
You aren't. That's why I aim low.
Aim low, get high. Oh,
look, I don't expect anything out of him. I got myself an F minus in high school, so.
An F minus.
You heard that right? That was an F minus.
I quit.
He quit. We gotta go.
Just don't get those in Christ.
I had straight S once, and then my dad was like, let me see your skateboard, and he took it away for like 6 months, and I cried like a little girl. And then he was like, if you give me C's, then we're good. And I just gave him C's. Never did any more, because I was like, I ain't even working any harder, because school's a scam.
He was in rebellion. All right, we gotta pray.
All right.
The whole education system is a scam.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for this study. Thank you for all of us here, Lord, both online and in person, Lord. We thank you for the ministry that you're growing, Lord, and that you're growing both spiritually and physically, Lord. And we ask that you would continue to do so, Lord. Just your spirit be felt first and foremost, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would bring your word, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that you would renew us, Lord. And that you would also bring other people to have the same thing going on in their lives, Lord, that they would be renewed and restored and just brought into that blessing that is your spirit, Lord. We ask your hand over Jerry's, I think, sister, Janine, Lord, and her travels, Lord. Help her to be safe. Help her to just have a safe travel and safe trip, Lord, that you would just have your hand over her and lead her and guide her and keep her safe, Lord. Help her to get to where she's going safely and back safely. Just have your hand over her, Lord, and we ask your hand over Tina, Lord. Continue working in her life, healing her and strengthening her, Lord. Just help all the tests and everything to go smoothly, that eventually they wouldn't find anything, Lord, that it was all just something that they can't explain, that you healed it and that it's gone, Lord. Gone from her body and gone from even showing that it was there, Lord. We just ask a miracle over her, Lord, that you would heal her body, Lord, and give her strength each day, Lord. We ask your hand over Memo for the same thing, Lord, your healing over him, Lord. Remove this cancer from his body, Lord. It's not meant to be there. It's not meant to be in a human being, Lord. And we ask that you would remove it from him and destroy it, Lord. Help it to his body to be fully healed and restored, Lord, that you would just wash over him, Lord. And that you would wash over the family and giving him peace and comfort, Lord. Help them to be strengthened by your spirit every day, Lord. We ask your hand over Orlando and Jackie, Lord. I know they're not here, Lord, and we just ask that you would both strengthen them physically, Lord, that you would help them with any health, anything that's going on with their health, Lord. Just heal them, Lord. Help them to have strength each day, Lord. And we ask your hand over Jackie with the interview she had, Lord. Help her to have your favor, Lord. We ask that you would just be with her and strengthen her, Lord. Give her the job that she's meant to be in. And if this interview was it, Lord, then we ask your favor upon her, that these people would see it and that you would bring her in, Lord. Nothing's impossible for you, Lord. We ask your hand over Cyrus, Lord. He wants to give thanks to you, Lord, because of everything that you did for him, Lord, that he got this test, Lord, and he got the awards, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord, and thank you for what's going on in his life, Lord, that you've given him the knowledge to get through this time, Lord, and we ask that you would have your hand over him once again, Lord, for the state test, Lord. Just give him that knowledge when he studies, help him retain it, Lord, and help him just to have the wisdom and understanding over these things, Lord, that knowledge would be ingrained in him, Lord. We ask your hand over the man that Stephen talked to at the liquor store, Lord. We just ask your hand over his life, Lord, whatever is going on with this man, Lord, and that you would just have your hand over him. Addiction is a nasty, nasty thing, Lord. But I remember something I heard, Lord, that you love people who are addicted, because once they're off, then they find an addiction in you, Lord, that you become their addiction, that they want to praise you and worship you all the time, Lord. We ask that you would free him from this addiction so that he can worship you and praise you and have full thanks towards you, Lord. Just to free him from these things, Lord. Help him to seek you and help him to be in contact with Stephen, Lord. Whether he comes to this church or finds another one, Lord, just we ask that you would bring him into your spirit, Lord. Help him feel the love that is you, Lord. We ask your hand over Jeanette, Lord. Just be with her and have your hands over her, Lord. Your healing hands, just everything, Lord. Just have your hands over her entirely, Lord. Be with her in all the things that she's going through. We ask your hands over Stephen and his cousin Harrison, Lord. We ask your hand just for an opening, Lord, to speak to him. We just ask that you would be there, and that you would make the perfect opportunity, Lord, for Stephen to speak to him, to be able to have the exact words that you've already put into his heart, Lord, and put into his mouth, Lord, to speak. We ask that you would just make that opportunity and that you would provide the words, Lord. Help him to be ready for the day that it comes, Lord. Be there with him and strengthen him, Lord, during this time. We ask your hand over Carlos for the same thing, Lord, that you would send Carlos, someone who's going to speak to him. I know I'm thankful that you sent Orlando to pray for him, Lord, and we just ask that you would continue sending more people, Lord, to speak to him and have openings open, Lord, and have Angie be able to contact him, or just we ask that you would just have your spirit upon him, Lord, that you're pulling him in the direction you want him to go, Lord. Help him, Lord. We ask your hand over or my coworker David. Just be with his family, Lord, in this time of mourning, Lord. We ask that you would just comfort the family that was close to him, and even the family that wasn't, Lord. Just losing a family member in general is hard, Lord, especially one so young, Lord. We just ask that you would be with the family through this time, Lord. Help them to have your comfort and peace, Lord, and show that it's your hand doing these things, Lord, giving them the peace and the comfort and the calmness, and that you're holding their hand through this time, Lord, and that you're there with them, comforting them, Lord. Show your hand upon them, Lord. We ask your hand over Stephen and the routine he wants to go into, Lord, to read his word and to spend time with you, as well as working out again, Lord, getting healthy in his body, Lord. We just ask that you would be with him, give him that motivation to you, Lord. I know it's hard. We just ask that you would give him the motivation and strive to do these things, Lord. Have it put into his heart and his mind, Lord. And Lord, be with my brother through the hearing and surgery, Lord. We just ask your favor upon the hearing, and that your healing hand would be over him during the surgery, Lord, that the surgery would go well and that no complications would arise, Lord. And that even after, the healing would go quickly, Lord, that the healing process would go quick and not painlessly, but as painless as you can make it, Lord. We just ask your hand over it, Lord. We ask your hand over Nick and his interviews, Lord. Just we ask that you would send him the right work to go to, Lord. The right interview, that you would have your favor upon him and during that interview, Lord, and just be with him, Lord. Have your favor upon him, Lord. Help him to have your hand over his studies as well, Lord, for the schooling, Lord. Just be with him in all things, Lord. Help him to see your hand and be filled by your spirit, Lord. And Lord, just keep us all safe, Lord. Help us to have your hand over us, that you would bring us into your spirit daily, Lord, even when we leave this place, and help us to get home safely. In Jesus' name we say, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, there's a lot of prayers, so.
I was just curious.